Welcome back to the Ramble Room. In our last show, we promised you that we would share a recording from the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County's meeting on Wednesday, the 28th of July, and that is what follows. I want you to pay special attention to the section where Chris Williams is speaking about the details of the numbers, the problems with the tax proposal, and the phony numbers that are there. Please listen carefully, and I hope you enjoy.
Thank you all for coming. It's absolutely exciting to see so many people in the same room that care so much about their community that they're willing to take the time to sit in a meeting and talk about things that we all know are really important to our community. My name is David Iverson. I've pretty much lived in Buffalo my entire life. Next to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America, my favorite document is the Wyoming Constitution. Some of my friends accuse me of sleeping with a copy of it underneath my pillow. That's only partially true. But my favorite passage in it, one of my favorite passages, is Article 1, Section 9, which reads that absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority. Which in Wyoming, what that means in Wyoming is that it doesn't matter how loud the voices are on the other side. Doesn't matter how loud they scream or how loud they talk. We still pay attention to the voices that argue against them. And that is what this meeting is about tonight. We've heard a lot of numbers coming from proponents of this tax. Some of them make sense. Some of them are ludicrous. But we're going to talk about all of them tonight. So we're going to do a couple of things tonight. First, I'm going to give you a brief overview of our group that we've started. It's called the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County. We're going to talk about them for a little bit. And then we're going to go into the meat of our program, an overview of this $50 million tax. Yes, it's $50 million in the end. I know that the ballot says 36, but we're going to explain to you tonight why that's incorrect. Next, we'll have a testimonial. The human impact of this gigantic tax. We're going to talk to a Buffalo business owner who, up until today, had not been contacted by Rick Myers or by Joco First or any of them. In fact, I had a personal meeting with Mr. Rick Myers, urging him to talk to this business owner. So tonight, he's going to come and tell us what the impact of his business is going to be. Next, all of our arguments tonight would be absolutely fruitless. Absolutely useless if we didn't have an alternative, right? If we just stood up here and complained about this tax the whole time and didn't tell you that we had a plan to fix it, well, that wouldn't be worth much, would it? So we're going to talk about an alternative that we have. And then we're going to ask for your help in defeating this bond or this tax issue because it's absolutely essential that we defeat it. Now, I would like to begin in thanking Rick Myers for a couple of things. I think that he absolutely deserves our thanks for bringing this issue to the forefront. One common theme you'll hear throughout tonight's program is that none of us disagree that we have buildings in our community that need to be fixed. None of us do. In fact, that's the one thing that we agree on. But what we vehemently disagree on is how and how much, and if we should consent to a tax for 20 years. Okay, so I think first we need to thank Rick Myers for bringing this discussion forward so that we could all discuss the best way of fixing these buildings in our community. The second thing I think we need to thank Rick Myers for is bringing forth the conversation of what is the proper role of government. Is the proper role of government to become increasingly involved in your personal life, in your community, to a point where it's involved in almost every facet? Or is the role of government to be small and to only handle the essentials? So without Rick Myers, we wouldn't have had this big discussion that we're having right now. So I do thank him for that. So the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County, it's a political advocacy organization focused on supporting the conservative values and principles that made Johnson County and Wyoming what they are today. We started it earlier this summer because, quite frankly, we're tired of electing officials that tell us one thing and then go to Cheyenne and do something entirely different. So we started a political advocacy organization to advocate for candidates that share our values. So if you ever asked yourself, you know, I'm tired of politics, as usual. So what do I do about it? Well, one thing you can do is help support the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County in our goals. And those are to promote a patriotic conservative agenda in Johnson County and Wyoming, to defeat this bond issue, because it's absolutely essential that we do it, not only for our own community, but for the state of Wyoming. We're going to have closing remarks by a good friend of mine, David Holland, who is the vice chairman of the Wyoming Republican Party. And he's going to explain to you why it's absolutely essential for the state of Wyoming that we defeat this bond, and this tax, and the bond. One of the other goals of our organization is to restore accountability and reliability to our elected officials, public employees, and party representatives for the citizens of Johnson County and Wyoming. And finally, to align and coordinate with other like-minded groups. To further these ends, we've come up with the contract with Johnson County. And what it is a list of principles that we as conservatives agree upon. You can go through all of this information on our website. That website is jcwyopatriots.com. Every single bit of the information that you're going to be presented today is on our website. So I challenge you to go look at our website and look at all the information that's on there, and go look at the website that's for the citizens for building the future of Johnson County. You will not find their economics on it, nor will you find any of their math. You will on ours. So again, the contract with Johnson County, it is our intent to support conservative candidates, and we're going to do that by saying, hey guys, if you want our support, well, you need to agree with our values, and these are them. So I encourage you to check out our website and look at those. So our first speaker tonight is a good friend of mine. His name is Chris Williams. He and his wife, Amy, moved here approximately 6 months ago, and they started noticing the same liberal trends happening in Wyoming and Johnson County that they fled in North Carolina. Nick is a double major in economics and finance from Southern Methodist University, and quite frankly, when he took a look at the economics from this project, the top of his head came off. Well, almost. I used duct tape. So without further ado, my friend Chris Williams.
Thanks, David. Can you guys hear me okay? All right. So again, my name is Chris Williams. Probably haven't met most of you folks. I'm up here for two reasons. One, hopefully some of my background can help you guys understand what it is you guys might be getting yourselves into if this gets passed. And then second reason is, you know, I tried to get away from this from North Carolina. Seeing a lot of things here that we saw in North Carolina, one of the reasons we came here was to get away from it. So, grew up in Texas, moved here from North Carolina 6 months ago. I was a double major economics finance at SMU, top 20 business school. I graduated top 10 there. And then for 26 years, I was in consulting, specifically with in the banking industry. So for 26 years, I worked on multi-$100 million programs with some of the largest banks in the world, literally all over the world, lived in Australia for a couple years, ran my own kind of business unit within this consulting business, about $50 million a year business. So these numbers are very comfortable with, to me, things that I'm very familiar with. You know, a $12 million budget for a county of this size, you know, just, it doesn't intimidate me. It's something I'm very familiar with. So like David said, once I started kind of seeing what was going on here, I felt a need to be more active. In North Carolina, you know, a lot of good things that are not happening, but I've never been a political person. And I don't consider myself a political person now, but feel like I need to get a little bit more active. And like my wife, Amy, said, if we want to make this place a better place for our kids, then it comes on us to actually do that. So that's why I'm here tonight. I'm going to go through a lot of detail, and that's one of my faults in life, but the devil is always in the detail for me, and hopefully it'll give you guys an understanding of what this thing's all about. I'm going to start on page 6. This is my Al Gore fuzzy math slide. Because the proponents keep telling us our numbers are wrong, or we don't understand the numbers, or that our analysis is wrong. One thing you're going to hear me say over and over tonight, everything in here is from the ballot. It's from citizens from JOCO materials and website and from their presentations. Nothing in here is from me or from us. This is their information. I'm just explaining it to you guys in a way that they're not. And I'm trying to expose the corruption, the deceit, the contradictions, and in some cases there have been some pretty flat-out lies that have come out in the last few weeks. And I know that's a pretty strong term, but the truth is the truth. All right, so Al Gore fuzzy math. I want to make sure I stay on time for you guys. The ballot. The ballot requests authorization for $36 million in taxes from this new 1% sales tax. $23 million of that comes from the renovations. So if you read the ballot, there's 11 projects. Those 11 projects cost $23 million to do. There's no provision in the ballot for paying back the bond interest in terms of the amount. And that's the big gap in their number. That's the number they don't want you to know about. There's $3 million in operating deficits referenced on the ballot, and there's another $10 million in maintenance reserves that they request. I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys now, and I apologize, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but I'm going to say a lot of them over and over so it kind of sinks in. Right now, on the government entity balance sheets and the private foundation balance sheets, there's $75 million of your money sitting on balance sheets and cash reserves. They want another $10 million of your money to sit on their balance sheets. And that number 75 is actually low because there's three or four special districts that I've actually not gotten the numbers from, so I know it's more than $75 million. And all this you can find on balance sheets. It's all publicly available information. So they want to add another $10 million to that balance sheet. That's almost $100 million for a county of this size of your money sitting on their balance sheets, literally in most cases doing nothing or very little. And in almost every case, earning nothing. It's just sitting in checking accounts with 0% interest. They want another $10 million of that money from this bond, of your money from the, for that bond. So 23, fifth grade math, 23 plus 3 plus 10, 36 million. What you're going to be on the hook for at some point, whether the ballot authorizes it or not, is that bond interest, which depending on the bond interest rate could be as much as $14 million. That's how you get to $50 million. The funny thing is, the ballot only authorizes $36 million and then, quote unquote, the tax goes away. Well, what's gonna happen? Either we don't pay off the bond interest, in which case we default on the bond, bad idea, or the money that would have gone to the maintenance reserves, the operating deficits and the renovations has to go to the bond interest. And so you actually end up having less money available for the actual renovations. So that's page 6. And I'm going to actually double click into this in just a minute. But before I do, I'm going to go to page 7. Page 7 and 8 are just a couple of screenshots to reinforce the message I said just a moment ago. This is their information. It's their ballot, and it's their website. There's a lot more things that I could have printed off, but I think you get the point. I didn't put everything in here, but you get the point. Page 9, is it raining outside? Tax advocates love to use the term rainy day fund. Okay, well, my question for them is it raining outside? Buffalo Bulletin published in their editorial last week, our best hope, quote unquote, our only hope for the future of Johnson County was to raise $50 million in taxes over the next 20 years to pay for $23 million in renovations. How many business owners do we have in here tonight? Okay. This is the same false premise used to justify the new outdoor pool recently. Their premise is always, we don't have enough money, there are no options, We need more and more and more of your money. So my question for you guys is, and again, this is fifth grade math, is spending $50 million to get $23 million in renovations our best hope? Or is a better option to spend $23 million to get $23 million in renovations? I think I know what the business owners are going to say. If the future of these renovations, if the future of the county is riding on these renovations, does that mean it's raining outside? Just keep that in mind. One thing I forgot to say at the beginning, and David said it, credit to him, and just because I forgot to say it doesn't mean I don't believe it. Nothing in here that you're going to hear tonight says that we should not do this because these facilities don't need it. No one has made or is making that argument. The question becomes, how do we do it? What's the role of government? What's the most efficient, effective way to do it? And we'll come to one of the options we've come up with, which has already been called illegal today by somebody, by one of the tax advocates, and we'll talk about, you know, illegal a little bit later. Okay, I'm going to go to page 10. I know there's a lot going on here, but to me it's important that everybody understands the numbers. So this is the true cost to you guys of the current proposal. And remember, these numbers are from their materials. And the guy who's kind of spearheading this whole thing actually had a chance to look at this the other day. Finally, he finally showed up. He said this is propaganda. These are his numbers. He unwittingly referred to his information as propaganda, which I actually agree with him. He's right, it is propaganda. But I think you get the point I'm trying to make. All right, so I'm going to start in the upper right-hand corner. Cost of the renovations is actually $24.6 million. $1.6 million of that comes from the operating entities, the golf club, the fairgrounds, the KC Library, the YMCA. The other $23 million comes from you guys. The other costs that come from you guys are the $26.8 million that I referenced back on page 6. $13 million in bond interest, depending on what the interest rate is. $10 million in maintenance reserves, $3 million in operating deficits. It's a $51.4 million project. And we'll get into this later. That $51.4 million number is very, very low. None of these projects have detailed designs. They don't have architectural blueprints. There are no detailed requirements. In my world as a consultant running multi-hundred million dollar programs, when you were at the beginning of a project and you started coming up with the numbers, those numbers always ended up being 50 to 100% more. So I don't know where this is going to end up, but it would not surprise me 5, 10, 15 years from now if this was $75 to $100 million, and that's just based on personal experience. The total of this $51.4 million, 3% comes from the operating entities, 97% comes from you. They keep, the tax advocates keep saying, you know, you guys need to pay your fair share. Y'all have not been investing in these properties enough or these facilities enough, and you now need to pay your fair share. They try and guilt you into these things. The kids won't be able to swim. You hate the seniors. No, that's not what this is about. I think the rest of that page somewhat speaks for itself. You know, we've already talked about the fact the ballot does not ask for enough funding authorization for the interest, which means one of two things is going to happen. You're going to default on the bond, or we're going to have less money to spend on these projects. And you guys know what that means. You're going to have a bunch of holes in the ground. You're going to have 11 holes in the ground. And then you're going to run out of money. And then they're going to guilt you again and say, oh, we need another $25 to $50 million. We know how this game's played. All right, that's page 10. Page 11 breaks it down by project. So where is that $51.4 million? I'm going to just point out a couple of things. If you look on the right-hand side of the page, 46%, $23 million of the $49.8 million goes to the YMCA and the golf club, 46%. of these taxes go to those two entities. And this gets into what's the role of government. 26% goes to the Civic Center. 28% goes to what I would term true traditional public work projects. Parks, museums, roads, etc. Part of the funds here, part of this $50 million, $2 million in operating deficits for the YMCA. And you'll hear me say this again in a minute, but the YMCA got $175,000 last year from Johnson County, the school district, and the city of Buffalo for their $900,000 budget. So they got $175,000 last year. It's on their income statement. They want another $100,000 per year of your money to run their facility. $275,000 a year. I'm a fan of the why. We just need to think about how we're spending our money. And remember, like I say in green here, this is all propaganda. Okay? All right, so those are the numbers. 14 reasons why I think you should vote no, or excuse me, vote against. Yeah, that's funny. Has everybody seen the billboards around town saying vote yes? Does anybody see anything odd with that billboard? Vote yes is not even an option on the ballot. There's two options on the ballot, vote for, vote against. If they can't even get their billboard right, they want you to give them $50 million of your money. And there's a lot of other things that they've done. I'm not just trying to be flippant or whatever. It's little things like that, that they say, trust us, we'll get it right. And then they can't even, you know, even the Buffalo Bulletin the other day, they're trying to lecture us on how we should vote and guilt us how we should vote. They said there's 8 major projects. Well, if you read the ballot, there's 11. So the Buffalo Bulletin sits there and writes an editorial and doesn't even read the ballot. And then they encourage you to vote yes. Well, again, they didn't read the ballot. We've read the ballot. We've read their materials. We've gone to their information sessions. We're just trying to shine the light on what's going on. Number one, can you or your family afford a $50 million tax? Anybody want to raise their hand? Even if the interest rate or bond dollar combination is different than what we've used as the assumption here, at a minimum, it's a $37 million tax. So it's somewhere between $37 and $50 million. We keep getting hammered on fair share. Well, is it fair that the YMCA and the golf club get 46% of this tax? $19.7 million for the YMCA, which includes the $2 million operating deficit. 2B, YMCA members are only contributing 2% of the total. $500,000 is coming from the YMCA members in the National YMCA. The rest is coming from you guys. The YMCA already receives $175,000 a year. 2E, so I went and looked it up. There's only 3 other YMCAs in Wyoming. Natrona, Sheridan, Cheyenne. Their memberships are 30% less on average. 30% more. So the YMCA here is 30% less. We charge less here than the others. Yet they need more of our money. Should a family of 4 from Casey pay $9,200 over 20 years for a YMCA that's 40 miles away? Does that seem fair? These guys always want to talk about fair. Well, let's talk about fair. Somebody try and convince the family from Casey they should pay over $9,000 in taxes for a YMCA they may never even see. Golf club, they're receiving $3.43 million in new taxes for a new clubhouse. They're only contributing 9% of their total. And if you go back to that previous page, it kind of where it goes project by project, I just picked those two. You can pick any of the 9 entities and do the same analysis. Would you invest your money in a company that lost 54%? I'm going to spend $50 million and I'm going to get $23 million in renovations. That's a loss of 54%. no company, the only entity on the planet is the government that can actually sustain those kind of losses. Because what they do is they just come back to you and ask you for more money. Each $1, we're told, so I'm going to talk about 3B here. We're told that there are no other options. This is the history of the world, or the future of Johnson County goes poof. But if we just stop, get ourselves in the room for a minute, and think about this, each $1 in alternative funding or reduced spending avoids $2.17 in taxes. It's just simple math. 49.8 divided by 23 is 2.17. It's more than just one penny. They like to mock us and say, oh, it's just a penny. Well, I had to fill up my gas tank today. Truck, 38-gallon gas tank, $100. Gas is up 70% since January. That's more than just a penny. I spent $30 more on today's fill-up, just today, than I would have back in January. They ignore rising food prices, rising agriculture costs, rising borrowing costs, rising food, shelter, clothing, rising insurance, rising property taxes. Oh, it's only $60 a year. We're going to blow away the $60 number in just a minute. It's only $60 a year. That's bogus. That is complete. That's where I'm saying they're lying to you. They're intentionally lying to you. It's just one penny means that we would become the highest sales taxed state or county in the state. 7%. What are the other 22 counties in Wyoming doing better than we are? That's right. Managing money. Oh, by the way, if you flip back to page 28, if you guys have questions about the proposal, I probably can answer some questions, but this is the gentleman who's the architect behind all of it. Here's his contact information. He recently said at one of these misinformation sessions that he thinks the sales tax in this county should be 10%. This is the guy that runs the economic development organization for this county. His vision of economic development is tax you into prosperity. Yeah. That's actually number 6, but we'll get to number 6 in a minute. Because we asked this question at the one session that we were allowed to go to, and nobody had an answer for number 6. Montana has a 0% sales tax. So the farmer that needs to buy some heavy equipment, and I apologize, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know if this is a valid example or not. So I just picked $50,000 for a piece of heavy equipment. It'd be a $3,500 savings. Yeah. It'd be a $3,500 savings on a $50,000 piece of equipment. Yeah, so, but you're only going to pay $60 a year. They say you're only going to pay $60 a year in the new tax. 80% of this tax is going to be paid by tourists. That's what they say. They think you're stupid. They think they treat you with contempt. Campbell County is at 5%, so just going down the road. Oh, but nobody's going to drive 100 miles to save $1,000. So number 6, name me one city, town, state, country, county that has ever taxed its way to prosperity. That is one thing I do know from economics, there's not one. We talked about number 7, operating entities paying their fair share. 3% out of the total. And I'm not trying to shame the operating entities, I get it, they're in hard situations. But because of what other people have done, and we're all in a difficult situation, let's come together, get everybody in a room, and solve this. Up until now, everything's been behind closed doors. People were calling people behind the scenes today, trying to manipulate things. People don't show up to things that we ask them to show up for. We've tried to engage. No engagement. There's limited oversight, governance, and control over the funds being requested. This is a quote from the frequently asked questions that they published at one of their misinformation sessions. Projects listed on this sheet are simply a suggestion, and then it will be the city's responsibility to identify how the funds are used. They say, oh no, they got to follow the ballot. Does anybody think that they will actually follow the ballot at the end of the day? Legally, they have to, but does, when has the other side allowed the law to actually, you know, get in the way or guide their actions? We've learned that in the last few years. Sure. Did you guys hear that? It's a great point.
Yeah, we have no idea what these people are going to do with our money over even in the next 5 years.
That's right.
They're not going to be on that each board. So it's not going to be these people who decided to do this now that are going to be implementing it.
It's a great point. Yeah, I mean, we're obligating things for 20 years from now. How's that going to work? It doesn't. We know it doesn't. Okay, 8B. So the thing about 8B is you have to understand what these guys say, what the tax advocates say over and over. We're in a dire situation. The world is going to come to an end. These are the same people that have gotten us into this situation. They're acknowledging that we created a bad situation. We want you to give us $50 million to get out of it. Well, the situation they created was they can't even manage. One government entity can't even manage one project the right way. I've heard lots of stories about the Justice Center. Millions and millions and millions of dollars, bad design, bad construction, blah, blah, blah. You guys voted against it twice. They still did it. They did, and I understand, if I'm right, they did it with reserve money. And they say, we can't do this with reserve money. We'll get to that in a minute. How can we do it for that, but we can't do it for this? Okay, well, that one government entity couldn't get one government project right. 8B, four government entities, nine operating entities are going to just magically come together and magically produce 11 major projects for $50 million. Four government entities, nine operating entities, 11 major projects. What in Johnson County's history would suggest that they've ever demonstrated the ability to do that? And this is one of the things that I learned in the business world when I'd go and talk to banks and they'd want to do these multi-hundred million dollar transformations. A lot of these banks had lost the ability or the art of transformation. And so I'd go in there and talk to them, and if they hadn't done it, if they had not demonstrated that they had the capacity to do it, kind of have to talk them away from, don't waste hundreds of millions of dollars. This is the same thing, just at the government scale. Project estimates are inaccurate and incomplete, high level, not based on any detailed requirements. If you go read, if you go to their website and read the details of these projects, the YMCA doesn't know if it's going to replace their pool or renovate it, but they know exactly how much money they want. How's that? How do you know? How can you say the exact amount you want when you don't even know if you're going to renovate or replace? Did everybody see KC Library Facebook post last night? Who did not see the KC Facebook post last night? So Johnson County Library Group came out last night and said the language on the ballot, we never reviewed it, we never approved it. The language on the ballot says they're going to rebuild the library in Casey. Rebuild the library in Casey, not renovate or rebuild. And the Johnson County Library Group is saying, nope, we still don't know which one we're going to do. And you go through all nine projects, it's the same thing. It's all these high level, we're going to give you money, and when you're ready, when they say, when we ask them, where are your details, they say, well, we have rough sketches. J- Johnson County Fairgrounds. This is printed from the Johnson County Citizens for JOCO website. That project, they say, is going to cost, project cost, not estimate, project cost $1 million. Key elements of the project, what they're going to do, problems that that project is going to solve, and then a picture. I've got four of the nine projects here. They represent $7 million of the $50 million. Guess what problems that $7 million solve? According to their website. Nothing. Zero bullets. That $7 million is not going to solve any problems except for one. Harold Girard Park, they're going to, for $7 million of these four projects, they're going to build new restrooms and a storage facility. $7 million, and we get a new restroom and a new storage facility. That's going to be a hell of a restroom. It's going to have bidets in it. It's going to have automatic dispensers. It's going to wash your hair. 9B, none of the projects are shovel ready, which means scope is not finalized. Quote, unquote, we have rough sketches. Start and end dates have not been published. One thing I do know in consulting is if you don't know your start and end dates, timeline is the biggest driver of cost. If you don't know your start and end dates, oh, the $23 million for these renovations, don't take into account inflation. We'll get to this in just a sec, but I want to hit this while I'm here now. The YMCA says we don't need the pool to be done for 5 to 7 years. But we know how much money we need to spend on it, but we don't take into account inflation. So, and we all know what inflation's doing right now, particularly on the building side, the building material side. So that $3.5 or $3.25 million for the pool is gonna probably buy half of what it could in 5 to 7 years. You're gonna have a hole in the ground, you're gonna have to fill up that hole with water and mud. Like I said, at the end of the day, we don't know if $51.4 million is enough. But if you pass this, you're stuck. You have no way to go back. You're locked in for the next 20 years. Number 10, I just want to watch my time here. I'm going to go through these real quick. 0% inflation, interest rates will remain low. Oh, this is one of my favorite Rick Meyer quotes. When these projects become shovel ready, the cost of construction materials and labor will actually be down. It's on their website. Go read it. Who believes that? The ballot says the bond is for $4 million. Their material says 23. Oh, here we go. We're going to blow away this notion of $60 a year. So 1% needs to generate $2.5 million a year in taxes. They say that you guys are only going to pay $60 a year. Okay, well, there's 8,500 residents in this county. 60 times 8,500 is $500,000. So you guys are going to pay $500,000 per year. And that's true because they told you that. But they need $2.5 million a year to pay off these bonds and create these fund these operating deficits and fund these maintenance reserves. So they're trying to tell you that $2 million a year, 80% of this tax will be paid by tourists and non-residents. Yet they make that claim, but they don't actually back it up. They don't actually produce the evidence to prove that. I wasn't at the meeting, but my understanding was when this question came up at one of the misinformation sessions, how did you guys come up with $60 a year? They said, oh, well, we figured the average person only spends about $500 a month on sales taxable goods. 1% times 500 is $5. $5 times 12 is $60 a year. So that was their justification for coming up with $60 a year. Okay, number 11, and we're going to hit this hard later. You heard me say earlier, $75 million is sitting in cash. And then somebody today told us, oh, well, you can't touch that. If you try and touch that, you know, it's illegal. Well, you used reserve money behind the voters' backs for the Justice Center. And it is true that some of these reserves are restricted. And somebody tried to convince everybody that all of these reserves are restricted and you can't touch them. It's not your money, it's the government's money. Well, if you look at the, I only had a chance to look at the City of Buffalo balance sheet before I got here today. Of the $11 million in City of Buffalo reserves, about 30% of that is for water, sanitation, and one other thing that's mandated by the state. So about $3 or $4 million. The other $7 million is you can take a vote either from the people or the commissioners or the boards or whatever. So don't let people tell you that it's illegal. It's your money. These guys have not identified any other alternatives, which is another reason to vote against it. The role of government is not to own, operate private entities. So I was the friend that David referred to earlier. He's the guy that sleeps with the Wyoming Constitution under his bed or under his pillow. They're right here, nothing in here. If anything, there are things that kind of restrict it and people just flaunt it, which is unfortunate because these are God-given documents to all of us. They say that government spending is economic development. 54% loss on your money is economic development. Okay, I'm going to hit the last one real quick, and I apologize, I'm going a few minutes late. I appreciate your patience. I learned this last week. There are no coincidences in life. Well, I learned that a long time ago, but I learned how this situation applies to that paradigm. The sixth penny, everybody's heard about the sixth penny, right? For the four street projects approved in 2018. That sixth penny will have generated the income necessary for those projects by the end of 2022. And I'm on page 14, by the way, for those following along at home. So that sixth penny, in theory, goes away end of next year. That sixth penny just so happens to generate around $2.1 million a year, some years a little bit more. Very important to remember that number. It just so happens, when you look at their spreadsheet, the tax advocates, a 20-year 2.42% bond, not a 2.4%, not a 2.5%, a 2.42% bond, $10 million in reserves, $3 million in operating deficits, just so happens to need $2.1 million a year. Wow. Who believes that's a coincidence? This next box, I'm just asking the question, coincidence or reality, I'm not making any statements. Once that sixth penny expires, what else can we continue to buy for $2 million a year? What can we afford for $2 million a year? How can we, the tax advocates, convince taxpayers it's in their best interest to continue giving us $2 million a year of their money so we can spend it on their behalf? How can we guilt the taxpayers into voting for this bond, not yes, for, so we can continue to have $2 million a year money to spend and control? The guy on page 28, quote, if you vote against this proposal, you will be cutting off your nose to spite your face. That's what he thinks of you. Sure is convenient that 11 projects happen to cost $2 million a year. Are we really to believe the fairground renovations are going to cost $1 million to the penny? No, they backed into this number. It's so obvious. I'm going to skip the rest of it because I've gone long. There's only one thing I'm going to say because I think some of you guys will get a laugh. It's the Nancy Pelosi, we must pass this bill philosophy. We got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. Okay. Thanks for letting me go a few minutes long. I'm going to let Tucker and David talk now. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about the alternative. So this kind of gives you why not. I'm not a big fan of why not. I'm a big fan of how. So let's figure out how we can solve this together.
Thanks, Chris. So Now I'd like to introduce you to my friend Tucker Alger. Tucker is the owner of the Buffalo Athletic Club. It's a private gym that's right kind of over there, right? Up until today, citizens for building at Johnson County or whatever it is that they're calling their PAC these days, until today, they had not contacted Tucker. Can you believe that? So they're giving about $20 million to a government entity that is in direct competition with Tucker here, and yet they don't even call him. So Tucker, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business and tell us what you've got down there.
So thank you guys for all coming out here. I mean, giving us your time. I really appreciate it to see what they have in the bill and the bond. So I'm Tucker Alger. I know some of you guys and some of you I don't, but I'm proud to live in this great town and raise my kids here. It's been great to me so far. I'm a little bit discouraged with how the JOCO board and everybody's working, like Dave was saying today. Until now, I haven't got anybody, and it wasn't even the JOCO board that called me. It was one of their friends, or I guess somebody that was, and they wanted to know why I was against it. And I didn't go too far into it. I just said I have my reasons. And it's not just because of my gym and they're competing with me. It's for our kids. When, you know, and when my kids get old enough, I mean, if they're going to be at 10% tax, what are they paying? I mean, it's already hard enough to live with the economic times right now as we're going through with fuel prices, lumber prices, everything going through the roof right now. So, like I say, I don't want everybody to think I'm swayed just because it's against my business. That's not the only thing. There's multiple factors. And like Chris and Dave said, I agree with some of the stuff. We need to do something with these buildings. We can't be, you know, just letting them run down. But there's other routes and other venues we can go down to make it work, not just what they have in the plans right now. And I think we should all hit on them and make a, you know, a good decision on what we should do with it and not just go off with this $50 million bond and bill, because that's a lot of money. But for my gym, I've been around Buffalo for my whole life. I bought the gym 6 or 7 years ago. That's a 24-hour athletic club. I've always competed with the Y. It's great to have, you know, friendly competition if it's fair, in my opinion. With this $19 million they're wanting to give the Y, that's, I can't compete with that. I'm just one-man crew. I'm not, you know, a chain gym. I try to provide my clients the best, you know, facility that I can offer with what I have. And it's, like I say, it's been very great for me. I have a client here right now, actually, and I mean, I really appreciate everybody that's supports our local businesses. So but it's just, there's no way I can compete with that $19 million facility they're trying to put in, if that's what they're gonna, you know, get to, or we're gonna have to pay more, like Chris was saying, after they get building on it with prices going up and everything.
So Tucker, let's talk about that. So what do you charge for a membership at your business?
So for a single adult month to month, it's $45 a month, 24-hour access, key card access.
All right. So if your business was in, say, Gillette, how much could you charge for it?
65, you know, 70 bucks, I bet.
Why is that?
Because there's, I mean, more people, and I'm not competing with one place that's getting money that I can't compete with. And I think that you can get a little more if I wasn't in competition directly with the YMCA, you know, and trying to keep my prices lowered to where I'm on a level playing field with them.
Okay, so tonight we've been talking about a proposal that's going to give about $20 million to the YMCA. So, Tucker, if I gave you $1 million, what could you do with your business?
Well, I could have an extravagant gym, and my clients would have everything they'd ever wish for. I mean, shoot, I'd customize it to whatever each one of my clients needed, if $1 million, you know.
So how much would you say that you've got invested in your business, Tucker?
$350,000-$400,000 ballpark. I mean, that might be going low. I don't know. I mean, over the years, you buy, you get new equipment, upgrade computer stuff. I mean, cameras, building, all that stuff. I mean, you're always putting money into it, but it takes money to make money, business.
So in your estimation, I know, like private business owners, we do revenue projections. We actually have economics that we do, like that we have things called business plans. In your estimation, what is your revenue projection if this bond were to pass? How big of a hit do you think you're going to take?
Well, I'd lose probably all my month-to-monthers because, you know, they'd want to go to a place where they can probably drop the price for having a way better facility because they're getting all that money. Thousands, you know.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell these folks while we got got their attention.
I just want you guys to think on it. You know, like I say, don't let me persuade you to do whatever you want. That's why we live in this great country, and that's why, you know, we're here, because we have the right to think on our own and do what's best going to do for you guys. And, I mean, don't say because me coming up here saying it's going to hurt me. I want you guys to do your own work and you know, get what's going to be best for you guys. But I do want to thank you guys for coming out, because this is huge, because everybody needs to be inclined on what's going on and know the facts and know the numbers, rather than what they've been putting out in the newspaper, just saying, oh, this is extravagant, this is grand, it's only going to be this much a month. I mean, with Chris doing the numbers, that's amazing, because you can actually see it broke down, and that was huge for me when I met Chris and when we kind of all got working on this. So, but I want to thank you guys so much for coming out and giving us your time. That's huge for me, so I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Tucker.
Thanks, Tucker. That was good. That was from the heart. So, you know, I'm glad to have met you, and pray that the things work out for you and your family. I know somebody said the other day that, oh, the YMCA doesn't compete with you guys because they're going to be building a pool and a gym. My whole point is, well, the money that they would have put towards the pool or the gym, they can now put towards strength and agility, which directly affects you. And so it's the opportunity cost that you can't compete with that. And, you know, how can you hire people when you can't get your wages or your prices at a point where you can go out and hire people? And that affects employment. So thank you. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Yeah, but 100%. I mean, I can't disagree or argue or add to that. But I guess the one thing I would add to that, the Buffalo Bulletin, did everybody read the editorial last week? So we're told, the Buffalo Bulletin continues to try and teach us that 2 + 2 = 5. The Buffalo Bulletin tries to tell us that the YMCA getting $175,000 a year plus another $100,000 from this, that's not a taxpayer subsidy. And so Jeff's right. They're going to continue to get money, keep their prices low, which low price is not a bad thing. No competition is worse. Yeah, the left hates monopolies, but they love the biggest monopoly in the world. That's like their god. I've never figured that out. Yep. It's not. Yep. So thank you. I'm learning more and more every day. Somebody told me the other day that $75,000 new tile floor in the lobby. Is that right? It's going to be a heck of a pool. $20 million. Maybe we'll get the Olympics here. Okay, before I get to the plan or the alternative, I'm going to have to ask you guys to forget a lot of things. But, so one thing I forgot to mention, my wife, in an indirect sort of way, is a fourth-generation Wyomingite. Even though we only moved here 6 months ago, her great-grandfather was a sheriff in Newcastle. He was actually the last sheriff killed by Indians in the Battle of Lightning Creek back in 1903. So Wyoming is in her genes, and it's kind of in my genes. And since we grew up in Texas, there's a lot of similar genes between the two. I know you guys are capable of putting things aside, but I just want to remind you what you're going to have to put aside before we talk about the alternative. Now, in recent weeks, tax advocates have hurled a lot of accusations, a lot of criticisms. We got to do something. We got to do it now. It's the only option we have. Notice that none of the things they've said are fact-based or concrete. When has somebody said something that wants to vote for this, that it's actually an actual fact? You know, we're going to generate 300 new jobs per, you know, in perpetuity at $50,000 a year. They've not said any of that. They said your kid's not going to be able to swim anymore. Really? That's the best you got? So it's our best hope. We have to do something. You just want to make the rich pay. So this third bullet, I learned last week, or maybe it was the week before, our elected officials in this county previously declined private donations from a rather wealthy person in this county for civic improvements. So how can they say you want to make the rich pay when they actually turn down an offer from a quote-unquote rich person? And that, well, it probably, well, it depends on how the conversation took place. If it took place in a public forum, then it should be in the minutes. If it's something that took place behind the scenes, then I can see why it's not in the public domain. We need to trust the people that came up with this plan. So the same people that created this problem are now saying, come to us and we'll fix it. You know, there's the elder statesmen in this city and county, you know, the godfathers and the people that you got to go kiss their ring that would say, this is how we're going to do it. We're in a bad situation, but don't look at me. It has to be a good plan because they've been working on it for a year. But after a year, no scope, no timeline, no detailed budget, but they do have rough sketches. You never have anything good to say about your city or county. You don't care. You hate seniors. You don't want kids to swim. Y'all are liars. You're argumentative. All they're trying to do is shame, intimidate, and to shut us up. And I'm tired of it. Nothing is fact-based. This will benefit the entire community. We've already talked about the family in Casey. How are they going to get benefit from $20 million going to the Y? We talked about taxpayers not, you know, aren't subsidizing the entities. The private sector is. It's your moral obligation as a taxpayer to tax yourselves $50 million for $23 million in projects. You sit around and complain and do nothing. You're nothing but keyboard warriors, which is kind of funny, right? I mean, the Buffalo Bulletin, did everybody see that article? Buffalo Bulletin shamed a lot of you folks that were against the outdoor pool fee, said you're nothing but keyboard warriors. It's funny, because their entire business model is built on a keyboard. That's all they do. Where are your ideas? Well, we have them, but you actually don't want to listen to them. If we don't do this, the world will cease to exist. They actually didn't say that. I did. You get the point. Okay. 17. So this is what I need you guys. I'm going to take you through a few pages of things you're going to have to forget. You're just going to have to put it to the side. Forget the fact that details are still lacking. We've talked about not shovel ready. We don't know what the YMCA is doing. They haven't incorporated increasing building costs for projects that might not be shovel ready. Oh, the Civic Center, found out by going out to the website. They're not going to even start that till the end of next year, end of 2023. But they know it's going to be $6 million and building costs are not going to go up. They're going to go down. We talked about the rest of the bullets in that section. Being the highest sales tax county in Wyoming is not a good thing, at least in my mind. So you're going to have to put that out of your mind. Welcome to Johnson County, home of the highest sales tax county in Wyoming. I wonder if they factored the cost of those new road signs into their business case. They don't have a business case. We've asked them, where's your business case? No business case. How many of you business owners can go to the bank and get a loan without a business case? They're asking you to give them a $50 million loan with no business case. We talked about the rest of the bullets there. There's 10 counties that are at 6%, 12 that are less than 6, two of them that are actually at 4. We need to go do a field trip. I haven't been to Cody yet, but I've heard it's really cool, so if anybody wants to go with me, let me know. Page 18. You're going to have to put aside for the moment that your elected officials continue to let us down, and all they want to do is accumulate power. Tax advocates acknowledge we went through the best 20 economic years ever. And again, this is on their, in the materials that they published in these misinformation sessions, yet we have nothing to show for it, therefore we have to do something now. I think we actually do have something to show for it. You guys have figured out a way to accumulate $75 million in cash reserves on top of everything else you've been doing over the last X number of years. Giving these tax advocates $50 million more of your money is the definition of insanity. We elect them to do the right thing, yet they proceed to govern in a way that's in their best interest, not in your best interest. And then they, like I said, they try and tell you 2 + 2 = 5. We gotta stop, right? Whether we win or lose this vote, we're in it for the long haul. This is, part of tonight is not just about the bond. It's about principles, concepts, kind of who we're dealing with. And it's gonna be up to us to change it. Whether you like Trump or not, one thing he did do was kind of empower a lot of people to kind of realize things need to be done, and it's going to be up to us. We can't just, you know, put the trust in one person. This is a moral issue. We got to forget that for the moment. We're going to set that aside. At the end of the day, a handful of votes, one way or the other, are going to decide this. Because, you know, if 2,500 people vote for this, and 1,300 are for it, and 1,200 are against, 50 people end up deciding this one way or the other. We got to get people out to vote if you truly are against it. But what happens in a few years if true priorities emerge? We've got a 20-year, $50 million weight around our neck. We have no more flexibility. Rick would say, well, we'll just go up to 10%. There's implications for that. We're not going to have the economic flexibility because we won't have the money to give to the government, and the government won't have that money to spend or won't have that money because they already spent it. So we can't say that this is the only thing. There will be other priorities that emerge in the next few years. Forced generosity is not generosity, it's coercion. Is it fair that 9% of the county that lives below the poverty line and hundreds of others low income will be forced to choose between food, shelter, clothing versus paying taxes for a new pool, gym, and clubhouse? For those of us who are Christians in the room, I can't imagine God right now saying, yeah, I want you to lose $27 million of my money. We have to be good stewards of his money. Losing $27 million of his abundance is not, I don't think that's what he's calling us to do. I know that's not what he's calling me to do. Let's put aside the fact, I'm on page 19, that they've not been transparent or inclusive. We've been told it's going to benefit everybody, but they did not consult a single business in the creation of the proposal except the YMCA and the clubhouse. I did hear today in full transparency that Rick had a meeting with, you know, one of the local construction owners and a couple of other people trying to convince them to vote for this, but that is not necessarily getting input on how do we solve this problem. And oh, by the way, they were trying to convince one of the construction owners to support it. Hell yeah, they're going to support it. $50 million of construction? I mean, if I were in that business, I'd have a hard time saying no, too. They did not consult the operating entities in the town of Casey, so we talked about the library. The language in the ballot is different. Chairman for JOCO, the gentleman on page 28, he's been avoiding a discussion. If this is such a great plan, and it's perfect, and there's no alternative, and there's no other way to do it, and we've thought of everything, why are they so afraid to get in the room and talk about it? We invited the chairman to review our analysis of the numbers a few weeks ago. at his request, he said, I want to come talk to you guys. We said, fine, show up tomorrow at whenever. He never showed up. But he still found time eventually to call this propaganda. He's been going around to multiple people, quote, I never wanted to do this. I wish I could pull this from the ballot. This is the architect of this whole thing. He was recently asked to attend a meeting brokered by some local citizens to invest time evaluating alternatives. He showed up, and one of our folks talked to him in advance and said, hey, are we on the same page as to what it is we're going to try and accomplish tomorrow? And he said, yep, let's talk about alternatives. He then proceeded to defend his plan. It was the mindset of it's my way or the highway. It was a waste of time. He invited us to host an information session on July 14th where we would moderate the discussion and we would there would be an opportunity for public members to ask questions of the 9 entities. A week before that meeting, he canceled it. He said he was going to reschedule it. He never did. He never got back to us. This is who you're dealing with. This is who, can't remember who it was earlier. I think it was Lisa saying, you know, a lot of these people are unelected. The power they have over us is stunning. And the contempt they have for you is stunning. We invited him here tonight. We wanted to actually give him time and the entities time up there to answer questions. The Chamber of Commerce placed the chairman on their monthly agenda on July 21st at his request. He didn't show up. But this is the greatest plan in the history of the world, and if we don't do it, kids won't swim. I guess he doesn't want kids to swim. Whenever we went to these misinformation sessions, it was write your question on a card, hand it in, sit there. No follow-ups, no discussion, nothing. There's so many things in this ballot that don't match the statements and the materials that are on their websites, that have come from their sessions. It's stunning, the inconsistencies. And like we said earlier, if you can't even get that stuff right, trust us with $50 million of your money. Because honestly, don't take this the wrong way, we allow it. We aren't, like I said earlier, I'm as guilty as anybody. I've been yelling at the TV and screaming and cursing, and it's up to us. Yep. And the radio. I sort of agree, sort of disagree, because I'm of that same mindset. How can we deal with this when the media is controlled, you know, by people of like minds and there's no legitimate alternatives? Nobody's asking the tough questions and that there's a true agenda. A lot of people I talk to say nobody really listens to the radio and nobody really gets the Buffalo Bulletin. So, you know, maybe I'm making a mistake by bringing some of these things up, but I also might be naive in believing that nobody does listen to them or read them. At the end of the day, though, and this is one of the things that Patriot Conservative is going to do. Whether we win or lose, we're not going away. Because if we win, they're going to keep trying, and we're going to have to keep stopping them. If we lose, there's a lot of things in this that still need to be fought and held accountable to. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're going to talk about sign-up sheets and where we need help, because we've got minimum of 50 hardcore people at the moment just in the last few weeks. We're going to need a lot more than that. We're going to need people going door to door, getting out the vote. But we're going to start here, and then we're going to start looking at issues and elections after the vote. We're going to kind of crawl, walk, run. We're going to get this right first, and then we're going to turn our attention to draining the swamp, because that's what it is. There's no better term. Yes, ma'am. Well, on their website, they refer to themselves as a 501c3, that if you donate to them, it's tax deductible, which by definition means it's a nonprofit. If you read the Buffalo Bulletin, quote, none of these operating entities are nonprofits. They are all private sector, municipally owned, which is an oxymoron. It depends on if you believe the IRS or the Buffalo Bulletin. Tell them who owns.
YMCA.
I don't know. Oh, the city of Buffalo. Yeah, sorry, the city of Buffalo technically owns the YMCA. And then the YMCA leases it for, is it a dollar a year? Yeah, the YMCA leases it for a dollar a year. And they get $175,000 a year of our money. The YMCA brought in $900,000 in income last year. Their expense statement was $860, so they turned a operating surplus of $40,000. And of that $900,000 in income, $175,000 was taxes. I don't know where that money went, that operating surplus. I don't know if it came back to us or not. I'm still learning. I'm like you. Request for information from the Johnson County Clerk and select operating entities ignored, treated with frustration, contempt, animosity, stonewalling. And these people were like angry. We're asking for information, and these are not FOIA requests. These are actually things that should be on the website that aren't, or what is on the website is wrong or outdated or inconsistent. I thought we were on the same team. Aren't we all part of the same community? They have contempt for you. You exist for them. Your job is to pay taxes. Their job is to spend it. How does this $50 million plan fit into the 5-year, 10-year strategic plan for any of these entities? Hint, they don't have one. Now again, a lot of these are very good people. They volunteered, but they knew what they were getting themselves into. They can't sit there and say, oh, woe is me. It's up to us to hold them accountable. It's up to us to find people that are actually willing to go into these positions and to actually do the things that we're, quote, complaining about. All right, one more thing I need you to forget before I talk about the plan. And this is hard. This is a really hard one for me, but I believe it. Tax advocates have been the ones that have created this situation that is and will further divide this county. Imagine 5 years from now, when all these entities are trying to get their money, and they can't, and people are going to be pitted against each other. That will happen. And I've seen too much, while I've seen some not so good people in a few months here, I mean, that's just life, we're human. There's a lot of really good people here, and I just can't imagine that fabric being, excluding key constituents, businesses, alternative views, operating entities of KC, that's not getting buy-in, that's creating animosity and resentment. Chairman Fajoco has been described as his management style, my way or the highway. And people got frustrated and fed up and they walked out. There's going to be a rancher in Barnum. When you add up all the other costs being put on him or her, that can't buy that new tractor, that new piece of heavy equipment, because it costs several thousand dollars more. On top of everything else. And so they're going to be out in that field in 100 degree heat when his old tractor breaks down because he can't afford a new one, he or she. Yeah. Okay. Fill in the blank. Okay, so what tax are they paying? Nothing? They just get it tax-free? Really? Is that true? Farmers don't pay tax on equipment. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay.
They're charged personal property tax on it annually.
Okay. Yeah, so this is where they get you, right? They say, well, we're not going to get it there, but we're going to get it over here. Because we're raising taxes over here, we can keep this down. They're still getting that money. Well, it is, because money that would have gone to these things from that can't now. That's the whole point. It's a shell game. These guys play a shell game with all this money. He's saying that these guys don't pay any sales tax on equipment, and therefore none of the money we're talking about here doesn't go towards these. There's not money that's going to go towards these projects. And what I'm saying is, the county of Johnson County brings in $12 million a year in taxes, whether it's personal property, sales tax, or whatever. It's just a shell game for them. So they're going to get you one way or the other. Oh, you really believe that they're not going to move money around? They already are doing that. No, I am understanding. It's a shell game. They move money around. Look, they don't create buckets of money that says only this money can be only used for this thing. Go look at the income statements. That's what they want you to believe. That's not what they do. I'm just telling you, read the input. I'm saying there's a lot of obfuscation, misleading, and it's up to us, if it does pass, to make sure that they do what they said they're going to do, because they've proven in the past that they didn't. Under the proposal, if you're paying $50 million in taxes, you're not going to be able to do things you want to do because you gave them $50 million. The chairman of JOCO, I'll just remind you, he put this on the ballot saying, you're going to cut off your nose to spite your face. You're not against the golf club, you're against seniors. Right? That's effectively what he's saying. You're against kids swimming. No, I'm not against kids swimming. I have kids. I have two 75-year-old parents. My 93-year-old father-in-law passed away last week, and 92-year-old mother-in-law. I don't hate seniors. I don't hate kids. I'm tired of it. Okay, so I need you to put those last five pages away. We're going to forget that. Lock it away in your brain. Throw away the key. And let's acknowledge we do agree something needs to be done. Again, if you go back to the 14 reasons, none of those said don't do it because we don't need it. The questions, though, are what price, are there better ways, who should pay, what's the role of government, what's the most effective, efficient spend of money. Some basic principles we use for these alternative, government should have to operate on the same principles citizens have to operate on when it comes to managing their finances. We teach our kids they have to earn what they pay for, not to come to mom and dad every time they need money. When you run into a problem, you got to move money around. You got to figure it out. Okay, page 22. There's a lot going on here. I'm going to try and break it down into three sections. Number one, renovate. They want $50 million in new taxes. Our alternative is $0 in new taxes. They want to utilize $0 of existing taxpayer and foundation reserves. We're saying let's figure out a way to tap into $75 million. Yep, some of it's going to be restricted. Some of it gets used every year. Some of it gets replenished every year. I'm going to answer it as best I can, as best I understand. I'm going to take your first or your second question first. No, this cannot be put on the ballot because the ballot has to be approved by each of the four operating entities 120 days in advance, and that was already done months ago. So all we're trying to say is let's just vote against it now, and then let's get in a room on August 18th and come up with an alternative, a joint alternative. Now, how did it get on the ballot in the first place? Anecdotally, and somebody here may be able to answer better than me, for the better part of the last year, there's been a group of people that have been trying to figure out how do we solve these renovation issues, and then how do we put it on the ballot? I don't know the answer to that question. As I understand it, this group went to Johnson County and said, we want to put this on, to the Johnson County Commissioners, and said, we want to put this on the ballot. And they... And the only reason I say it's not only, it's not the city council, and again, Scott may be able to answer it, is because the town of Casey tabled this. Town of Casey did not approve this to go on the ballot, and it still went on the ballot. So there's other mechanisms to put it on the ballot. Two of the three entities have to approve. Correct. That's right. Thank you. So we put $15 million here, whether it's 10, 20, the notion of how much cash reserves do we need sitting on the balance sheets? And then fundraising. Let's figure out a way to go from $1.6 million to some bigger number. Don't tell me that there aren't people. I personally met a lot of millionaires and know of a billionaire in this county. There's a lot of money here. Let's think of ideas. We avoid $50 million in new taxes. We still keep at least $60 million in reserves. Taxpayers are still paying two-thirds of this alternative. So it's not that we're not paying taxes or using taxes. Two-thirds of this proposal is still tax money. One-third is fundraising. So we're not saying soak the rich by going around fundraising. We're not saying taxpayers may not have some kind of an obligation here. We're just saying there's got to be a better way to do this. Operating deficits. $2 million. Did you know if we raise the YMCA membership fees just $5 per member per month, that $100,000 additional money that they're asking for goes away? They're already charging $15 to $20 per member less. We're just saying another $5, and that operating deficit goes away. Town of Casey, $1 million. Town of Casey already chose not to take this referendum up. Not that they voted against it per se, they just chose not to vote on it, which means they're basically indirectly saying, we don't want or need the money. Well, then why are we giving them $1 million on the ballot? Reserves. They want to take $10 million and go from $75 to $85 million. Like I said, that $85 million is low. I would not be surprised when I get those other entities that it's close to $100 million if you add another 10 to it. All we're saying in our alternative is no, let's not add another $10 million. Let's figure out how to use some of the existing. And then so the other side is going to say, well, we got to replenish it or we can't go down because we lose flexibility. If you get the income statements for the special districts, the government entities, the operating entities, all of them run an operating surplus every year. Solid Waste District ran a $500,000 profit last year. Now, they're at the high end. I'm kind of using an extreme example. But if you add all these up, you can replenish these reserves. Like I said, you guys already created $75 million in reserves in the last X years. Don't tell me you can't do it again. 23, lots of numbers here, but if somebody wants to look at it project by project, you can. I'm just going to use the fairground as an example. Fairground's $1 million. That's what they need. By the way, the fairground wants $1 million to build a 10,000 square foot building destroy 3 exhibit halls, and renovate office space. Those 3 things. New construction, new commercial construction, usually it's not unusual, let's say, it's not unusual if it's $200 to $300 per square foot. So that's $2 to $3 million just to build a 10,000 square foot hall, but they're only gonna need a million. Forget destroying the old exhibit halls and renovating the space. But we're gonna take their number, $1 million for the fairground. Right now they're saying in the current proposal, $150,000 fundraising, $1.86 million in taxes for that $1 million renovation. So they need $2 million for their $1 million renovation. What we're saying is, let's go get $500,000 in fundraising, $500,000 in reserves. They get that $1 million up front. We save $1 million. That's how you read this page, project by project. If the other side says, no way, never gonna talk about it, can't do it, okay, fine, then let's just talk about single alternatives, which is page 24. The point is there are alternatives, and I'm sure there's a lot not on here that somebody smarter than me could come up with. If you redirect $6 million in cash reserves to the building of the new Civic Center, that's $13 million you save in taxes. So the point here is if we can just take each of these entities one by one, now they would say, oh, that's too hard. And this is the other thing, right? These guys are lazy. It's easier to raise your taxes than to actually work. In my world, if something is important, you work for it. Anything that's worth something in life, you work for it. Anything that's easy or free, you don't value it. Do you think the Y members are going to take pride, or no, not the Y members, the golf club members, do you think they're going to take pride in their new clubhouse if they're only paying 9% of the bill? They're the ones that let it get it to where it is in the first place. So why do we think it won't be in the same place in 10 years? But if they actually take ownership of it and put effort into it, chances are they're going to take a lot more pride in it than if you just write them a check. I'm gonna let you guys kind of read them. I'm gonna point out a couple of things. You know, get out of the business of owning private entities, number 7. Let the private sector take on the risk of running the YMCA or the golf club. You know, if the golf club gets $3.5 million, what about the golf course developer that wants to build a new golf course? You just created a $3.5 million barrier to entry to him. We're only gonna have one golf course. I play golf. I would love it if there were 2 golf courses. This golf course here is amazing. But I'd like competition, choice. There will be no choice. Increase YMC memberships to the Wyoming state average. Go to the national YMCA. Nobody's answered that question. Oh, Johnson County Fairgrounds, number 10. I've been to 4 events at the Johnson County Fairgrounds since I moved here 6 months ago. I paid one time. It's good and bad. I actually don't like it. I'd get more value if I could actually pay for it. Implement a tourist tax. If tourists are going to pay 80% of the tax, keep it simple. Do what they do in Florida. Show me your driver's license. Okay, I charge you more. To those who were asking, how do we fix this? It's number 12. None of this is going to change until we get rid of this establishment that thinks they own this place, that thinks they know better, and that you have your place and they have their place. Your place is to give them money. It's like it said on the mailing card. We spend your money so you don't have to. And that's what Patriot Conservatives is about. How do we change the mindset? All right, I'll leave you with a few thoughts. Page 25. Sure. Yes. Yep. Yeah. So the question is there a requirement, like in the case of the city, that a certain amount of the reserves have to be restricted? The answer is yes. I don't know the precise figures. I went and looked at the City of Buffalo balance sheet last night as an example to try and get an idea. 30% of their reserves were restricted to water, sanitation, and one other category. The other 7 or 8 million can be, might be, quote, reserved for something, but not necessarily restricted for something. So the, one of the questions is, what's the annual city budget and county budget? City budget from a couple of years ago, because they haven't uploaded FY 19 and 20, and I've asked them and they haven't answered. A couple of years ago, the city budget was $4.2 million. They have $11 million in reserves for a $4 million budget. And the county budget is $12 million, and they have about $30 to $32 million in reserves for a $12 million budget. And you'll hear from our elected officials, oh, we need that much in reserves because, you know, the cash flow that comes in and the expenditures, no. $11 million in reserves for a $4 million budget, no. $30 million in reserves for a $12 million county budget, no. And this is just the county. I haven't talked to you about the 11 special districts. There's at least, of that $75 million, there's well in excess of $20 million in reserves on their balance sheets. I don't know off the top of my head what their income statements are, but it's the same concept. Okay, and I know I'm going long, guys. I apologize. Page 26, vote against. Early voting has already started. Please vote now at the courthouse. There's no excuse to say, well, I won't be here on the 17th. Go vote now. And again, what you're voting for, back to this gentleman's question, all we're trying to do is stop this before we put a 20-year, $50 million weight around our neck. Let's just stop it, and then let's get the adults in the room and let's talk about this. This middle red one is really important. I think Mr. Holland is going to speak about this in a minute, if we can indulge you guys for a few more minutes. Tax advocates around the state are watching this. If this passes here, they've got a blueprint to do this in all other 22 counties. We have a responsibility to stop this now. They've got the blueprint, and they're praying that it just kind of sneaks underneath. Talk to your friends, family, neighbors. We need 1,500 plus one. There's 3,000 registered voters in this county. We just need 1,500 plus one. I'd like more than that, but first things first. If you want more information, here's our website. This is going to be up there. There's a lot of other materials up there. There's a lot of things I haven't shared with you tonight, believe it or not. Lots of questions. If you want to get into a discussion, debate. And then page 27. At the end, we'll be up front here. We need help. We need people to sign up for a lot of things. We got a float that we're going to be in on August 7th for the Johnson County Fair and Rodeo. For the parade, we need like 20 people walking alongside, handing things out. A lot of people don't know this is going on. Their consultants are telling them low voter turnout is the key to success. We've got to get out the vote. Poll watching, we're going to need people poll watching. We need people going door to door at residents and businesses. We need people at the fair. We need people walking to community organizations. If you know of a way to help, this is where I've not been here long enough. This is not my experience or strength. And then long term, win or lose, we're not going away. You want to participate in or contribute to the cause, we're going to get involved in certain issues. Elections, city, county, state, school board level, none of this is going to stop until we kind of take things back.
And that's kind of like you said, if this passes, it's
20 years. 20 years, you're done. And you, if you think you're going to undo it or vote it, whatever, it's done. Sure.
I know some of you guys are having a hard time hearing.
March of this year, Governor Gordon came out. Is this working? Governor Gordon, in March of this year, put out to all the cities, counties, I have $370 million of leftover COVID money. please bring us projects to get your money. Johnson County and Buffalo didn't go after a dime. I asked them both, and the city didn't even know about it. But at the same time, the city said, I've been told that the mayor took a request down there for $4 million, and he went down three different times, and every time the paperwork wasn't done correctly, so they sent him back. One thing we got to do, guys, if we want to do any changing in this town and the politics, I feel like the number one thing we need to do is get five county commissioners. We got to get past one man running this county. Another thing we got to do is we got to hire a city manager to run the city entities. Right now, we don't have, every 2 to 4 years, the regime changes, and nobody has a firm handle on what's going on from, and we end up with a bunch of, like I always use a statement of, nobody has ever, there's, I thought I found one person on the city council and the county commissioners that's ever been in charge of making a payroll. What does that have to do with anything? They know where to get their money. All they got to do is go pull it out of reserve. Nobody's willing to step up and, you know, run for these offices because it's a waste of time. You know, if we had a city manager down there that the mayor answered to, make the council answer to the mayor and the manager puts it together, all the heads of the town have to answer to them, we would get something done. Because that manager's job would be on the, you know, to get to, it would be required for him to produce. Another big thing that is not going on in this town is we're not going after grants of any kind. We need a rec center. Yesterday in the Wyoming business letter, news day letter, Cheyenne was just okayed for somebody to get a $14 million to build another rec center down there. We don't go after that. These 1% projects that have been built out here, no grants applied for them. We just do it with 1% tax money. Right.
Okay, guys. Oh, there it's on. All right, guys. I know it's been a long night, and I really appreciate your attention. We've talked about a lot of things that are really important for our community here. And there's a couple of big takeaways I want you to remember for today. First of all, that nobody is arguing that we don't have work to do, guys. We're sitting in a building right now that sooner rather than later, we're going to have to fix. I mean, there's no question about that. The only argument we have is how do we do it and how much, okay? That is the argument that we're having, okay? So there's been a lot of information that you've listened to tonight. Everything that you've heard is available on jcwyopatriots.com. Please go check it out. You'll find a ton more information there than you will on the website that's owned by these tax advocate people. So if I could indulge your attention for just a few more minutes, I want you to listen to my friend David Holland from the Wyoming Republican Party. He's a wealth of information, and he just wants to stress to you how important it is that we defeat this tax because the rest of the state is watching it. And if it can pass here, guys, it can pass in any part of the state. So to close, my friend David Holland.
Thank you very much, and I'm really glad to be in Johnson County, and I'm glad to see the turnout here tonight. I didn't get the memo of exactly what I was talking about, so I appreciate you telling me. I will tell you that as vice chairman of the Wyoming Republican Party, we believe in a grassroots organization. We believe that we're here to help you. And we are seeing all across the state of Wyoming, and it's not just the state of Wyoming, it's all across the nation, that people are rising up, people are waking up, people are opening their eyes, and they're saying, this is not the way I learned it in school, and a lot of people aren't learning anything about civics in school. People are waking up, and they're saying, we want our country back. Wyoming is a wonderful place to live, and I think one thing that concerns me is that we demonize our neighbor. And I believe that my job as vice chairman of the Wyoming Republican Party is to help the local parties with their issues, come alongside, help them. We want to elect Republicans to office, and Johnson County does a wonderful job of that. So when we elect a Republican to office, so many times we hear there's no difference between the parties. And that is sad that people think that, and it's misinformation. I want you to know that there's a tremendous difference on who you elect to office. And when someone has an R beside their name, I feel like it's the job of the state party to come alongside and say, we want to help you succeed in your position. I think so many people in public office today feel defeated. And I will tell you, I've got a daughter who's on the Arvada Claremont School Board. She got on the school board, and I'm just going to tell you a story because I believe in principle, and this demonstrates a principle. She got on the school board. She was a write-in candidate by her neighbors who said, if we write you in for an office, will you serve? And she said, yes, I guess I will, because we raised our children to serve their community. She didn't even know what office they were talking about. They wrote her in for the school board. She's now on the Arvada Claremont School Board. She goes to meetings. They've got 9 members on their track team. They have a $140,000 grant, or a grant to build a $140,000 shed to hold the equipment of the 9-member track team. She asked, how much equipment does the track team have? And they said about $800 worth. And she said, why don't we not build the shed and we'll buy them brand new equipment every year? And someone said, well, you're being logical. And the person honestly said to her in a public meeting, the problem with you is you think logically, and I have found when I serve on a public board, we need to throw logic out the window. The person said that, and I don't think they really meant that, but they said that, that we stop thinking that way. Instead of attacking our elected officials, let's come in and say, what can we do to help? But if they don't take the help, if they're not willing to listen, I think it's a shock to their systems many times. I know I was a commissioner in Campbell County, forgive me, I was a commissioner in Campbell County years ago. In 4 years of being a Campbell County commissioner, nobody ever came to me and said, this is what I want you to do. But they came to me plenty of times afterward and said, boy, you really screwed that up, you did it all wrong. Well, you know what? Why don't you tell me beforehand what you think needs done instead of coming to me afterhand and telling me that I'm no good and dumb and corrupt or whatever you might think, because I don't think the vast majority of our public officials are that. I think they get in with the idea that they want to serve, and then they get in and they get into groupthink so many times, because we elect people and we say, here, go get them, Tiger, and then we walk away. And we leave them hanging. And they are surrounded by, so many times they're surrounded by employees in the courthouse, in the state house, in the city hall, whose job is to coach the elected official to see things my way. So I don't think you have a problem necessarily, I don't think we have a problem necessarily, statewide, with the quality of people. We just need to get their attention, and when you have a meeting like this, I think it's very good. You can get their attention, and you can come alongside, and you can give them some direction. Now, when we talk about a party, of the two parties being the same, I want to tell you that parties are not. And I want to tell you that the Republican Party is and should be seen as the party of small government. And we need to have that. We need to be the party of small government. And when we see something like this bill or this issue you're voting on, that is not decreasing the size of government. When we see Republican leadership, we would expect to see fiscal responsibility. We are the party of small business. We're the party of free enterprise. We're the party of liberty and the ability to go out and try on your own. And anything that takes away from that ability is not good for you or your community or your businesses. We're always told everything's for the children. What we need to do is let us keep our money in our pockets, make our decisions for our children. That's what we do for the children. We don't sit there and give more money and take big projects. The things I've heard tonight, and I'm not familiar with everything that's going on here, but the things I've heard tonight raise questions. Do the dollars add up? If the dollars don't add up, you don't dare vote for it. If the wording is wrong, if you can't pin it down, would you sign a contract that you can't pin down? This is a 20-year contract or more. It's a 20-plus year contract that you can't pin down. Don't vote for it. I do financial planning for families. My goal is to get families out of debt and financially independent. We have become a nation. Do you realize until 100 years ago, people didn't carry personal debt? Businesses might get some debt, and large corporations might get some debt, but individual families, you didn't borrow money to build a house. When they first came out with mortgages, mortgages were 7-year mortgages. Now we have 40 and 50-year mortgages, and people have no idea of what it is like to actually own your own home. The average time people own a home is 8 years. You spend 8 years saying, "This is my house." 8 years later, you move to another community, you buy another house or another bank, you never own your home. You're always paying the bank. We buy our cars on debt. This debt is a destroyer of us morally. I'm a pastor of a church, and I will tell you, more marriage problems are caused by debt, the strain of trying to service a debt. I'm a financial planner. When we have... There's a rule called the rule of 72. You take the amount of interest that you are earning, hardy, har, har, it's 0.1% most times now, but you divide it into 72. We used to be able to tell people if you can get 7% interest divided into 72, that tells you it goes 10 times. In 10 years, you will have doubled your money on a one-time investment. It works the same way with inflation, only it's opposite. And when you say that we've got 70% increase in gasoline since the first of the year, that's 70% in 7 months. That's 10% a month. There's 12 months. That's 120% inflation if it doesn't stop. And what's going to stop it? And why don't we hear? Why does our government tell us there's no inflation? Because when Bill Clinton was president, the cost of living index was getting so high, people were getting upset, and they said, well, let's change the cost of living index. Let's take out the cost of food. Let's take out the cost of gasoline. And all of a sudden, the cost of living index does hardly anything. But folks, everything that you buy in Johnson County is trucked into Johnson County on vehicles that use diesel and gasoline, and if it's 120% inflation, what happened to the price of lumber? What happens to the things that come to town? Why do we not have dollar menus at the fast food joints anymore? Or if you do, it's not worth eating. But what used to be a dollar Happy Meal now is $7 or $8 at any fast food place. $50 to fill your pickup. Folks, common sense tells you that when you vote on this and pass this, the numbers are all wrong. Don't say that the people have done a bad job, your elected officials have done a bad job, but the people who are pushing this and are not being forthright with the numbers, make them take it back. Make them reconsider. Vote no on this issue. Take it back. Open it up to free enterprise. When I was a commissioner in Campbell County, we had the idea, the big golf course on the west side of Gillette, belongs to Campbell County, and they wanted to get a couple of $100,000 worth of tractors to mow the golf course or mow around the golf course, not golf equipment, just regular tractors to mow the grass. And I said, why don't you contract it out? There's a guy who, a hippie with a ponytail down his back, goes shirtless, turns brown in the summer, wears a hat, drives a little David Brown tractor, which I'd never heard of before, and he mows everything in Gillette that he can find, and he gets paid, and he makes a living doing it. And they said, nobody is going to contract to mow around the golf course. And so they didn't let it go. The other, last year, I needed tires for my tractor. I called the big fire, a big tractor dealer in Gillette, said, what have you got? And they said, you're in luck. Campbell County just replaced the tractors on their golf course, or the tires on their golf course tractors. Those tractors that I tried to get them not to buy, they replaced the tires when they're so new. To me, it was a brand new tire, and I bought it at 1/10 of the price of a new tire. And so if you can't beat them, join them. I mean, if they're going to be foolish with their money, sign me up on the receiving end. But if the numbers aren't right, turn it down. If the wording isn't right, turn it down. One thing I teach people in sales resistance, if they're telling you, you know, you better do this today, here's a deal that's only going to last till midnight, you know, there's only 10 of these items left on the computer, and you know darn well there's 100,000 people looking at that, but there's only 10 items left. 2 hours later, there's still only 10 items left. Folks, if there's that kind of pressure, back off. Back off. There's always tomorrow. There's always the next election. There's always a time to, and I despise these special elections on tax issues because it absolutely is a question of voter turnout. And the ones who will turn out are the ones who want it. The proper thing to do is put it on the November ballot when everybody shows up. Turn down, just on principle, turn down a special election. Just on principle, turn down the pressure that we have to do it. There's no other alternatives. Go to your elected officials and say to them, what can I do to help you? We had a district court judge who I had tremendous respect for. And one day my wife was on jury duty. And she said to him, or he said, well, do any of you have a problem with divorce? You know, I'm divorced. Well, I've known that judge for years. For 30 years I've known him. I didn't know he was divorced. And I saw him in the courthouse one day and said, I'd like to buy you lunch. And we went to lunch. And I said, I didn't realize you were divorced. I know you got beautiful daughters. And people in elected office are under tremendous pressure. They're under tremendous temptation. And I said, I've been remiss. I would like to just commit to pray for you. And we're sitting in a restaurant, and that judge, district court judge, burst into tears. Folks, you don't know the pressure your elected officials are under. Go to them, be their friend, be their advocate, but if they won't receive it, gently remove them from office. I would encourage you, but I think it's all been said tonight without me. Vote no.
Thank you all for attending. I know it's been a long night. It's going to take a while for us to pack this whole thing up. If you've got questions, feel free to ask us. Also, we've got, if you want to join in the Johnson or the Patriot Conservatives of Johnson County, here's a sign-up sheet. I'll get you on the email list. You can find out exactly what's going on. We've done a lot of events this summer, potlucks in the park, and sharing a meal and talking politics, and trying to come up with a plan to help Johnson County. Oh yeah. And there's also a sign-up sheet if you want to help out with anything to do with the vote, whether it's knock on doors or poll watching or anything like that. So once again, thank you very much for coming, and have a very nice evening.